Hi, I'm Femi Oke. There are over 3 million NGOs operating in India. Many of them are starting the new year cut off from international funding, and that's due to new regulations. Even the organisation funded by Mother Teresa, the Missionaries of Charity, has been impacted.
Missionaries of Charity,
I do not think there is any discrepancy in their funding. Missionaries of Charity is known worldwide to treat the poor and ill without taking a penny. I was born in Kolkata and I have been seeing their charity work. They don't keep a penny. There must be some kind of misunderstanding.
I would request all our government officials in the central government to please come outside Mother House every morning at 6 o'clock and see the line of homeless poor people stretching for more than 1 mile, who are given a free meal. Not one of those people is a Christian, and not one of those people are asked to become Christians.
Today on the stream, we're looking at India's Foreign Contribution Regulation Act, the recent changes, and the ripple impact that that may well have on big NGOs in India and the small ones as well. Let's meet your panel. Hello to Henry, hello Vijayta, and hello to Naranjan. Good to have all three of you here on the stream. Henry, first of all, please introduce yourself to our stream audience. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Well, I'm Henry Tiffin. I come from Madurai in the state of Tamil Nadu in India. I am a lawyer. I work with an NGO called People's Watch, which has lost its FCRA registration in the year 2012, and we are still working.
So good to have you here on the program. Vijayta, nice to see you. Introduce yourself to the stream audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, I am Vijayta Singh. I'm a journalist based in New Delhi. I work for the Hindu newspaper and I cover the Ministry of Home Affairs, which is the Internal Security Ministry for India.
Good to have you here. And Naranjan, welcome. Tell our international audience who you are, what you do.
Hello, I'm Niranjan Sahu, a senior fellow with Observer Research Foundation, a New Delhi-based think tank. And I work largely on democracy, democratization, human rights across South Asia.
All right. Thank you so much, guests. We also reached out to India's Ministry of Home Affairs, extensive outreach. Despite that, we were not able to get a spokesperson to join us. But we have you live in our comment section on YouTube. Put your comments right here, your questions right here for our panel. I will do my best to bring your ideas, your thoughts into the programme. Let's start with this idea that these regulations on NGOs receiving foreign funding is not new, not specific to the ruling BJP, the former Congress party. When they were in power, they also started to look at regulations for NGOs. But earlier, we spoke to Usha, who had some thoughts about why these regulations are necessary. Have a listen to her.
The government of India exercised its constitutional authority in bringing about a few changes to the existing FCRA Act. There's a lot of data and intelligence that some NGOs have been indulging in activities against the state. Unfortunately, India doesn't have a legislation to curtail the activities of the foreign agents.
So, Gesta, first of all, I wanted to just establish what would be the cause for India's government saying we need to do deeper regulation on foreign investment, foreign funding coming into India's NGOs. Can you give me at least one example, Naranjan? I'm going to ask all of our guests of one example of where tighter regulation is necessary, because there are problems. What are the problems?
I think, first of all, the regulation has to happen in sector, mining, for instance, coal, those activities that has actually not only, environmental and other threats, but it has also repercussion about, the labor and, in many ways it impacts country's economy. So there, I think those areas actually need to be regulated and government is right actually in regulating, certain activities that can actually in many ways threaten many of those, dimensions that I described.
All right. So certain industries need to be regulated. Henry, do you need to be regulated in your charity work?
Well, I think as much as Everyone in this country needs to be regulated voluntarily by the government through its legislations. NGOs are also doing their voluntary regulation. And this regulation started in the year 1976 by the government with the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act. And we have all, my NGO has been registered from the year 1982. We had an unblemished record till 2012 when we were suspended. And we had not a single reputation of having a report that was unfiled throughout this period. And now I know the reason why in 2012 and later in 2016, when it was once again rejected, the reasons were very simple. It had nothing to do with financing. It had nothing to do with finance management. But it had definitely to do with our human rights of reporting our things that take place within the country. And this is in an affidavit that the Ministry of Home Affairs has filed before the Delhi High Court, where they say that I communicate with the embassies. And they also say that I communicate with the UN Special Rapporteurs, a country which aspires to be in the Security Council of the United Nations. Why is it hesitant about a small little NGO communicating with UN Special Rapporteurs? Can't our diplomats match up to our reports that we are making to UN Special Rapporteurs? This is a written allegation, written affidavit by the Ministry of Home Affairs.
I'm just looking here at a posting from Oxfam India. They applied for the renewal of their license to take in foreign investment, and they have been turned down. They found this out just recently. So huge organisations, huge NGOs have been impacted. Vijeta, have you done any reporting that gave you some idea about what the challenges were with NGOs, why India would be so strict about foreign investment coming into the country? Because that's the key issue, the starting issue.
So there are a series of reports which we have filed regarding FCR, the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act, which actually regulates foreign funding into the country. Most of the time, we are not told by the ministry on record or off record of about any reason. Say, for example, Missionaries of Charity, why their FCRA was not renewed. And we were the ministry came out with a statement that due to some adverse security inputs. Now, these are very vague terms. If you are blocking the license or registration of an NGO which has been working for decades in a country, you ought to give cogent reasons explaining what adverse security reports that you have found. So sometimes these regulations, they're also used to harass NGOs which are critical of the government or which express, which espouse free speech. And because not many people would want to depend on corporates or on government funding for their work because they want to stay independent. So that is the lacuna with this act, because it just gives no explanation. It is heavily sided on the part of the state. And they are the ones who can decide arbitrarily which NGO will function and which NGO will not. Okay. And you will not even get to know the reason.
All right. So even though we're thinking about, right, what would be the potential reason? Henry came up with one. But in terms of what the government are telling you, the Ministry of Home Affairs, they're not giving you those examples. On my laptop, I have several people who've been following the stream, following this conversation on Twitter. Have a look here. Henry, I'm going to get each of you and Vijeta and also Naranjan to respond to these comments. So Kushagra says, this is a good decision by the Indian government. Some people are using the funds received for the purpose of NGOs for illegal activities. Henry, instant reaction to this. Don't pause. Go ahead.
Well, in 2012, we were issued a show cause notice, not once, not twice, three times. That itself was illegal because then it was only 180 days of suspension. Not a single illegal activity of ours had been pointed out. In 2016, when we were not allowed to renew, I had a two-line order that was given to me. And the order read, on the basis of field study report, the competent authority refuses your renewal application.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, Henry, so deep pushback from you. Niranjan, this tweet here from Akilu, it's a new one, new idea here. Foreign NGOs are not there to help the people of India. They have ulterior motives and should not be trusted. The BJP-led government is doing the right thing and we shouldn't be wishing Western NGOs luck at all. Niranjan, brief response to this.
I think prima facie, people who have been tweeting, this sort of messages are in some way or other, I think they are victim of, the propaganda, which has been, for several years, which is basically NGO saving kind of, propaganda. And that's not only restricted to India. I think if you see the right wing the entire space all over the world. I think you go to US, you go to Turkey, you go to Brazil, you go to, Russia and Hungary, many of those countries where you have actually NGO saving has become very common. And any kind of, foreign money that comes for even very charitable voluntary work that could be even fighting the cause of, climate change or promoting rights of the marginalized, is seen basically as some kind of interference in our internal affairs. So I think I'm not surprised with this sort of message. Yeah. And what exactly happening in India for last several years, not only with this current government, even the previous government, which in fact anchored the entire, this instrument of foreign funding in 2010 with all the amendments and expanding the scope of, what to declare as illegal and what to declare something that, is political in nature or, threatens national security. Do you think actually these small, tiny NGOs, which are actually dedicated themselves, can be a national security threat? Where are we actually living? And in India, NGO movement has been there for, for decades actually. And they've done pioneering work on environment, on marginalized, rights, rights of the oppressed or for Adivasis. And many of the movements, that later on government adopted into laws, like, Right to Information Act in 2005 was pioneered by, hundreds of NGO, grassroots NGOs. So I think some of these people are ill-informed or they're actually carried out by the propaganda.
So, Vijayta, I've got one more thought here to share with you, and I'm just going to see on Twitter, again, responding to our discussion today. NGOs cannot run a parallel government. They flout laws and norms and fodder activism on the pretext of social service. They must open themselves up to full state scrutiny and be accountable. Are you seeing any sense of NGOs, I said there are 3 million operating in India at least, of flouting government rules?
So the as I mentioned earlier, the norms are very stringent. You have to check a lot of boxes, and especially after new amendments were brought in last year, it has become impossible for NGOs to do any kind of, or to even to imagine of that they can run a parallel government is just laughable. Mm-hmm. And most of these comments are mostly part of an organized propaganda. And because there is this fear of the unknown that NGOs will come and NGOs will, take over the government. I mean, these are very foolish observations, to be honest. There are a host of boxes that you have to check for an NGO to survive, to receive foreign donations. Government of India has even put foreign donors, around 100 foreign donors, on its watch list. And so it's not easy for foreign donors to just send money, because every penny that they send, the government gets an alert, and every penny is scrutinized before it's passed on to the NGOs. So it's not that easy. So, as I said, there are a lot of stringent measures in place. So I don't think this tweet makes any sense.
All right. OK, that told that tweeter. All right. Let me share this with you. This is from the Ministry of Home Affairs. It is live now. So it gives us a sense of what is happening with the NGOs who tried to file for the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act with the new regulations. If you see the blue here, the aquamarine, those are the NGOs who are active. The pink, cancelled NGOs. Look how many cancelled NGOs. And then the green, deemed ceased or expired as of today. Maybe they couldn't even handle their paperwork. Maybe they didn't file. Maybe it didn't get in on time. Henry, looking at this, the latest for NGOs who would like to have foreign funding, what does this tell us about the operating climate for NGOs in India today?
There are two observations I would like to make. The first observation is that this entire propaganda that is going on, let us not forget that this whole operation started post-2010 amendment to the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act. And this was brought in by another government which is not in power today. And I want to go on record for the sake of being very fair to the arguments that are being put forth, that I am a victim of the previous government to start with. And then the present government in 2016 continued. That's point number one. Point number two, in terms of numbers, there are a variety of ways of looking at this. When the initial days of the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act in 1976, and as it went till 2010, anybody could ask for a registration. And there were bigger institutions which had not one registration, but they had multiple registrations. And as the law became a little more stronger and the compliance mechanism became tougher, they decided, some institution decided perhaps not to have five registrations, but to do with one. Not to have three registrations, but to do with one. And therefore, there were many which were not renewed because precisely they did not want the renewal of all their FC registration. That speaks about the large number which have been cancelled. Now, those which are deemed to be cancelled as of today or others, there's another explanation which you can give is with the 2020 amendment that has come, which makes sub-granting impossible, which means smaller NGOs in the country who are working in rural areas, who are working among the most downtrodden people in interior parts of the country on issues of education, on issues of health, in issues of displacement, and a variety of issues that you can think of. Mm. These NGOs can only receive funds directly from abroad. And if they don't have sources, they don't need their FCRA. And therefore, they don't even want to apply. And therefore, their FCRA remains cancelled. So a large number has remained cancelled because of the subgranting coming to a close. Mm. And that is something which is very, very difficult for the NGO movement to survive, because you cannot have people only doing finance work. People have not come here to do only governance and administrative work. People have come usually to work into areas of their competence, and usually it is a large section of that work is voluntary. And okay. That has made it extremely difficult for people to continue for their registrations.
Niranjan, I want to put this to you from YouTube. This is Clovis on YouTube, who is watching the programme right now. What is the level of awareness and interest from Indians about these regulations? What is the impact on everyday lives of the many people in the country? I saw a headline about the Missionaries of Charity, the organisation set up by Mother Teresa. They are now rationing the food that they're giving out because of the limitation on the funding that they have. They can't take funding from overseas right now. Do Indians know about this? And what's the impact going to be?
That's a good question. I think average Indian, I would say, do not really know what's happening to this civil society space and how many of those, you know, top, you know, NGOs, especially those role models, you know, those who have actually done pioneering work for decades, have been, you know, in many way are actually facing, you know, the brunt of the ministry. So I'm saying, look at the case of the Missionary of Charity. It is actually one of the oldest organizations and has done pioneering work. Actually, I think almost 17, 18 states in India, it works actually for the poor, for the most, you know, the destitutes and people who really do not come within the states, you know, radar. So in a sense, actually, by, you know, targeting these sort of NGOs who are actually seen as actually, you know, have a lot of symbolic value for the society, sending a chilling effect for many smaller NGOs and NGOs, those who are actually do not have a financial or any kind of sustainable base. That is number one. Number two is, I think, a lot of activities, especially those activities that really do not come under the, you know, I would say, radar of the state. And many cases, actually, states do not have the capacity to, you know, reach out to those sections of the society. And many of the remotest place where many of these NGOs have actually dedicated themselves, I think those works are actually going to heavily suffer. I don't think government has a plan in any way, you know, it can actually really go and substitute the, you know, pioneering work of those NGOs. And that's the real irony, actually.
Just want to share on my laptop this news from Oxfam when they realised that they won't be able to renew their licence to receive foreign funding. They say that they're humanitarian work will be severely impacted. I'm going to share with you another thought as to why this is happening in India right now. Shadrach says this is a serious sign of a dictator. It's heartless, disregarding the many people benefiting from the organisations. And then on video, we got this comment from Rashid. Here is Rashid.
If it means destroying civil society, our economy of India, or the prestige or soft power of India, the cancellation of FCRAs of Jamia Millia or Oxfam or Indian Medical Association, or even support to leprosy work, so be it, seems to be the attitude of current Indian regime.
Henry, you know all too well what it means to be regulated so that your work is impacted, your charity work is impacted. What does the Ministry of Home Affairs need to do to adjust their approach to foreign funding coming into NGOs?
The question is that there is discrimination in the manner in which foreign investment in India is being handled. The discrimination is between how business is approached and how civil society is approached. And I think this discrimination has to stop. The business is managed by the finance ministry, whereas the civil society is managed by the home ministry. And now this is a major discrimination. The procedures which are followed for financial irregularities, if I could use those words, for business, have a procedure, whether it is income tax, whether it is service tax, whether it is other tax issues, there are procedures that are followed. Whereas for civil society, under the Ministry of Home Affairs, the discrimination is that the first thing that is done today, they don't wait. The first thing that is done is suspension. And the best example that I can give is the Commonwealth Human Rights Initiative, which has been working on issues of policing, which has been working on issues of right to information, which has been working on issues of prisons, not working on their own, but working with the police themselves, working with the prison authorities themselves, working with the legal services authorities themselves. And they have been stopped. What have they done? What have they done which is wrong? If they're working with the police system and want to implement what the Supreme Court has said, what have they done? Suspension without notice. And they are in courts today. So this discrimination about how business is approached and how civil society is approached is the fundamental question that is asked. We are not against regulation, but okay. Don't discriminate.
I hear you. Niranjan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I entirely agree with there is a clear duality, you know, in terms of while the government is very open to foreign investment in the business sector and it goes, easing all kind of restriction and, liberalizing every, sort of law to attract foreign investment. Whereas in case of foreign funding for the NGOs, which actually are doing pioneering work and, they are filling the space, which the state is not able to meet off. That work actually is being restricted. And in another interesting dimension is that, the foreign funding of, political parties, which is happening through another instrument called electoral, bonds. There, the government doesn't have any problem. It has opened the floodgates for, foreign money to flow into the political system. And they don't pose actually a threat to the national security. Whereas, the tiny NGOs who are actually doing pioneering work become national security. And their activities is a cause of concern. That's the biggest irony that we are actually today, dealing with this India.
Mm-hmm. Last word with Vijayta. Go ahead.
Can I add something? Yeah. This is also a case of bureaucratic overreach. We just did a story, it went on our website a few hours back, that the FCRA registrations of not only Missionaries of Charity, but a famous Hindu temple, Tirupati Devastham, which is...
We're in the last 30 seconds of the show. Make your point in a single sentence, and then I will thank you and say goodbye. Vijayta, go ahead.
Yeah, even not only Christian organizations, even a lot of Hindu temples have lost their FCRA registration. Mm-hmm. So it is clearly a case of bureaucratic overreach, and there should be clear guidelines and clear explanation by the government on why their registration has not
been
registered.
Vijayta, thank you. Niranjan, I appreciate you. And Henry, we really appreciate you as well. So much more to talk about, but for now, I'm going to wrap up today's show on YouTube. Thanks for your comments. I'll see you next time. Take care.